This is an Enterprise Times podcast. My name is Ian Murphy. I'm here with Monty Taylor.
Hi. Thanks for having me. I'm Monty Taylor. I have been working on the OpenStack project since before its inception, and specifically in the area of its developer tooling, CI systems, all of those support systems that we've provided to our communities.
One of the announcements yesterday was OpenDev, but there wasn't a lot of flesh on the bones, apart from it's going to be open source tools for open source developers, and it'll be done the OpenStack way, which left me with more questions than answers. Can you fill some stuff in for me?
I absolutely can. But we're a little bit light on details at the moment because we're still kicking these things off and it'll flesh in as we work on it. Essentially, what this is, at least in its initial incarnation, is for the last 9 years, we've been running a set of services that we provide to the OpenStack developer community for the purposes of developing OpenStack. Those tools aren't specific to developing OpenStack. They're just development tools. One of the things that's interesting about them is that all of the tools that we run for the OpenStack project are all open source, and our operation of them is all done in Git repos, GitOps style. It's all open development process for the running of the tools. So the operations of the tools are open, the tools are open, and everything like that. And so as we've been lifting things out of the Zool project being a really good example of that, where we say, hey, this is a generally applicable tool that other people want to use. It's not just for OpenStack. We sort of wanted to do the same thing with the services that we're hosting. All these years, we refer to it as the OpenStack Infra Systems, short for infrastructure, which also confuses people. Our IRC channel is OpenStack Infra. People come in and ask us questions about their OpenStack networking. We're like, that's not what we do. We're the tooling for the developers developing OpenStack. So we've URL rebranded and reworked. Right now, the core systems, the code review system, the code publishing, and various things on the opendev.org domain. We did a big reorganization of all of the Git repositories for both the official OpenStack projects and the other open source projects we've been hosting for the last several years, but they confused people because they were all prefixed with OpenStack, and they weren't OpenStack projects, they just were using our tools. And so we wanted to be able to start clarifying that this is just a set of open source tools and services that you can use to do development if you don't want to rely on proprietary software to do your open source software development. We are a place that you can do your development and know that every single piece of the pie that is supporting you is all open source and is all operated in the open and is all community collaboration and all of those sorts of things. That's the intent behind what we're doing there.
So how are you going to deliver that? Because at first glance, this looks like it could just end up being yet another platform as a service for developers. You talk about services and people are going to assume they consume those through the cloud. But we've got a lot of platform as a service out there. We've got overlap between platforms out there.
We do, but none of them are open source.
Well, they kind of are. We've got Cloud Foundry.
So for right now, we are not focused on delivering open dev as a collection of software packages for you to install locally. You could. It's all open source. Our primary focus is running the open dev service itself as a place that you could come and create some Git repos and you'll get the Zool CI testing and all that sort of hands-on stuff that the services we provide to the OpenStack community will provide to the wider community in general. There's some folks out there who've done some work even already before the rebranding of trying to make distributions. So if you wanted to run your own thing like our systems, you could. It's possible at some point in the future we may also provide them, but that's not our primary focus because it turns out our control plane is 150 servers worth of stuff. It's not small, and it's probably not super efficient for you to run all of those services yourself, although there's nothing about any of them that will prevent you. But that's not our primary focus, at least at start, the hosted service that we're running for other folks.
So how will people get started with this? Because it's one thing to have a collection of tools. And if I look at things like open source intelligence, we have another community with a lot of open source tools that people can use. But bringing those tools together on the OS Int side is not a simple thing. Yep. Bringing them together and using them as part of your cybersecurity strategy is not as simple as people like to claim it is. Yep. Been there, seen it, done that. If you're going to make this an opportunity for people to come in, work with you, go forwards, they need to understand what their path in. They need to know what their on-ramp is. Yep. They need to understand how the tools connect together, what tools overlap with each other, what tools are unique in a space. I appreciate it's rebrand at the moment, but the site doesn't give me any feel of how that's going to work.
And some of that, I'll say, is a little bit on purpose. You are currently perfectly free to come in, and there's a process for creating new repos in the system. You've actually been free to do that for many years now. We're not quite in a position to have something like a button click, I just want to create a piece, largely because we need to make sure that we're tracking scalability and those sorts of things. As we move forward with this, we'll be having more here's how you get started to help people on RAMP, making sure that we are continuing to provide good services for our current users before we sort of have a flood of new users is our top priority. We want to make sure as we start onboarding more people that that's done in a sustainable way and so that we're not all of a sudden degrading our ability to provide good services to folks. So it's not an accident that there's not a clear shining button flashing saying, click me and all of your stuff will be. But the short version of that is that the way that you get a new repo in the system is to submit a git change to a repo and we'll create stuff for you. And then that will already be plumbed up with all of the things that it needs to be plumbed up with. But we'll document that better later.
Now that's just a really big opportunity here. We've got, 18 OpenStack clouds now. One or two have closed down or been subsumed into others. If all of those have been using these tools over the last 5-6 years to build, develop, test, and approve their distros, it doesn't seem a big jump that one or more of them might also look to create open dev distros that would make it easier for the developers in their ecosystems to come in and share this. Because without that easy on-ramp, the danger is this becomes a set of tools for the glitterati, the open source aficionados who know where to look, which kind of works against the whole ethos of open source.
Absolutely. No, and it's actually an interesting point, and it's one of the reasons that I've been excited about us taking the first steps down this road is I get grumpy when I see open source developers using closed source tools to develop their software. But I have to remind myself that I sit in a position of privilege where I have access to a lot of resources, and there isn't right now a readily available, actually open platform that people can use if they're not already in a privileged space. So I can't really be upset with people for using things like GitHub because it exists. And there isn't an alternative. There isn't a place where somebody can go that one can reasonably expect a reasonable person to go to actually use free software tools. The option isn't there. I hope that over time, as we move forward, we do the thing so that this isn't a tool for the glitterati. This isn't a set of services for them. This actually is a way for us to give people an actually open option if that is a thing they care about. If it's not a thing they care about, I can't help them with that. But I do feel like I'm in a tricky position of I can't be upset at open source developers for not using open source tools because if they don't already have financial backing and a whole bunch of resources, there is no offering for them to alternately choose unless they want to go stand up a bunch of servers, and that's really expensive. I would like to accomplish the thing, but we've got several steps before we're there for sure.
If we look at one of the big pushes for the OpenStack Foundation, it's been to be more collaborative. It's been to touch projects outside of your sphere of influence. Kubernetes is a very good example of that. But there are other well-established tool vendors, people such as CloudBees with Jenkins. How do you look at this and say, okay, yes, we've got some CI/CD in here, and we've got some testing tools in here, but actually there are other established open source projects out there in the same space. How do we make sure that our tools can integrate with them in that collaborative fashion? Because if the OSF is going to talk about collaboration and working with other groups, here in particular, it needs to have that, because those who haven't gone and bought commercial tools are using those other open source tools out there.
I'm a big believer in there being a diversity of choice for people out there. In some of those specific places, we want to be able to provide a service to users that is good and that we can support. And that necessitates for us making some choices. We're not in a position to just be random remote sysadmin hands for people for whatever random service it is that they've decided to use. For instance, integrating with Jenkins, that's mostly a non-starter. Because we used to run one of the world's largest Jenkins installations, and we don't anymore, and that's due to reason. Jenkins is a fantastic project. I think I still have core commit access on Jenkins. It's a really tricky thing, because we have services we run, and they're the services we run, which means that necessarily we're choosing not to run other services. That doesn't necessarily mean that those other services are bad, and we do like to collaborate with people from those communities when we get together and talk about various things, but it won't, in as much as it's already hard to provide fully open platforms for people to use, we would be underwater if we tried to integrate with every single option out there. So we're a one-stop shop platform. that you can get all of your things from. If you're really excited about using GitHub with Jenkins and Travis, okay, well then you're happy with doing that. And I wish you all of the best luck, and that's okay. I don't want to compete with that. I want to offer a positive alternative for people who want the thing that we're offering, and if they don't want the thing we're offering, that's okay.
You say you've been using these tools for a while now. We all know that in any set of tools, we'll be comfortable with them, and then we'll realize there's a weakness or there's something missing, or if we're going to now adopt a different technology, we need a new set of tools.
Yep.
Looking at it at the moment, as you start to work out how you bring more people in, you make it more accessible, what are the gaps that you need to fill that actually could end up becoming new projects?
That's a really good question. We were actually just having a conversation about this right before I came over here. But I'll give you an example of a change we just made as part of the OpenDev rollout. Our Git browsing experience. We were using Cgit, which is one of the Git browsers. People didn't really like it. It's fine, but people were like, oh, it's ugly, all of these various things. That's fair. We actually have, as part of the OpenDev rollout, we got rid of our Cgit farm. Because it turns out you can't just have one server of serving Git repos when you have lots of... It's computationally expensive to serve Git repos. You need a farm that's load balanced and all that type of stuff. But we got rid of the Cgit farm, and we replaced it with a farm running a project called Gitty, which is a fork of the GOGS project, but it's a Go-based Git. It's broadly like a GitHub clone type thing. We're not using it in that particular way. We're using it for code browsing. But we replace that to give our users a better experience there and something they're more used to. So I totally agree that this is a thing that we have to do and be on. And we've been sending patches into Gitty to improve it for our use cases. I imagine over time we'll probably enable more and more of its features as our users request such things or as it becomes reasonable to do so. Auth is really interesting. Having a single sign-on system that we can use that is a federated single sign-on. We don't need to have user accounts locally. I'm not interested in username password storage. Definitely don't want to do that. And there's a bevy, obviously, of other things out there. We've been using Launchpad as our source of single sign-on for 9 years. And as we look at bringing people into this who maybe aren't coming from an OpenStack developer background, but are just from some other place, then needing to have an OpenStack Foundation ID and a Launchpad ID, these are things that don't make sense to them. They might want to come in with their Google login or their GitHub login or any of these sorts of things. There's a bunch of projects out there that provide that sort of federated auth. To be an auth provider, to be the single sign-on that itself federates to single sign-ons from other systems. None of them actually support all of the options that we need in that space, which is sad. We'd be really happy if they were. And some of them were excellent and have now been abandoned by their parent host organization, or others of them just have a different focus, and all of that's fine. So we're currently looking at those options and seeing, is this a place where we just need to write a couple patches to an existing project, add a couple drivers, and we're good to go? Is it a thing where we need to take a project and help it maybe is less far along but has a long-term strategy that's more aligned that we can help them get there? I'm pretty sure the answer is not for us to write something from scratch. That would be a terrible choice because auth systems are basically the last thing you want to write from scratch. Well, that's not true. URL parsers are the last thing you want to write from scratch because you'll never get that right. That's a thing that's a really good example of figuring out what's the right way to provide a good service that lets our users do the things that they want to do in a way that's pleasing and that can hopefully help the open source ecosystem in general.
You've raised an interesting point in that, in projects that get abandoned.
Yeah.
We know that in reality, 80 to 90% of open source projects will get abandoned inside 18 months, 2 years. Great idea at the beginning, lots of energy at the beginning, and apathy sets in. Or, in most people's case, their day job gets in the way. The problem is, in that period of time, people start to use and take things on. You've obviously been using the current toolset for quite a period of time, and you're now looking at other projects you can bring in, as you say, to save yourselves writing it. If you find yourself in a position where you've brought a tool in and it looks like it's getting abandoned, are you going to end up making the decision to take them on and keep them, or will you allow natural degradation?
Both things have happened. It goes on a case-by-case basis. Sometimes depending on how good the tool is, what is it doing, how stable it is, how much work are we going to have to do to maintain this thing long term. Very specifically, several years ago, we were using, it was an open source translation, TransFX. Then TransFX decided to change their licensing model, and so all of a sudden TransFX was no longer open source, and that was frustrating. We had no choice at that point. Well, I suppose we could have forked it and ran our own, but we decided, okay, there's other things. So we migrated from that to Zenata. It seems that Zenata is less of a priority for its host organization nowadays. And so we've been chatting with the people who have been our developer contacts there, but also we've got folks in our documentation and translation community looking at what are the options that are in the translation space. So this is one where it's unlikely that we're going to suck Zenata into our own systems and sort of take it over. We'll do another migration and let that go by the wayside and move on. And there's several very good options. There have been other cases. The most immediate example that pops into my head is back from our days when we were running a large Jenkins farm. There was a Jenkins plugin that we found essential and nobody else really cared about anymore. So we will adopt this and we will take care of it and we'll take over care. And so really, it's always a judgment call. It's also the thing that you bring up is one that we also have to deal with in a proactive way, which is we'll have people come and say, hey, can you add a service that does this thing? The answer may be, well, that's still a little bit young. We don't know enough about the viability of that long term, and we're not necessarily comfortable rolling that into production and then having to support it, and then it goes away because this thing's happened. We tend to be a little bit more conservative on rolling out new things so that we can assess exactly that, because we're not a VC-backed company with thousands of developers. We're a team of 8 sysadmins. We have the ability to do a lot of things, but we have to pick and choose, and we have to be responsible about those things. So all of those options are on the table. We have replaced things with writing our own thing from scratch. We've taken over projects. We've abandoned projects and moved on to other things. And it really depends on where it sits in the stack and how it would be for us to deal with it.
I look forward to seeing how this goes over the next few months.
Me too.
Monty, thank you for your time.
Absolutely. My pleasure.